On Midwest Week, a changing of the guard in Des Moines following the resignation of Terry Branstad. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest is Aaron Murphy, State Capital Bureau Chief for Lee Enterprises, and his work appears here in the Quad City Times. So, Aaron, so far, how has the transition been going following former Governor Branstad's posting as U.S. Ambassador to China?
Well, the transition itself was pretty smooth. Obviously, this was something that was in the pipeline, and they had a lot of time to prepare for. Governor Branstad was picked to be the ambassador to China fairly shortly after the election, and the appointment itself didn't come, I guess it's been about a month or so ago. So they had time to prepare for it, and everything went smoothly. But the early tenure for Governor Reynolds has been a little bit bumpy, not necessarily through any fault of her own, but she's had some big issues crop up, in particular with a tightening state budget and with some issues at the Department of Human Services, where the director there resigned amid a couple of deaths of some teenage girls who had been in the foster care system and adopted. And so she inherited some big challenges right off the bat.
And following her promotion to governor, who's lieutenant governor now, and is that the correct term we should be using now, Aaron?
Yeah, so the term we've been using as reporters is acting lieutenant governor, and it's for one specific reason. The attorney general delivered a formal ruling that, based on his reading of the Iowa law and the Iowa Constitution, when someone ascends to the governorship, they do not have the authority to appoint a lieutenant governor with all the powers of that office, namely placing that person in the line of succession. So what Governor Reynolds did is she named a lieutenant governor, but acknowledged that, and it's Adam Gregg, who was the former state public defender. So Governor Reynolds named Adam Gregg as her lieutenant governor, but Adam Gregg is not in the line of succession. Now, what that means is if something were to happen and for whatever reason Governor Reynolds could not continue to serve as governor, Adam Gregg would not become the next governor. And so that's what I mean when he's not in the line of succession. And the next person in the official line, and this is written into Iowa law and the Constitution, is the Senate president, and that's Jack Whitfer from Ankeny here in central Iowa.
Now, a moment ago, you alluded to a possible budget problem. What kind of a problem is there for the state budget, and is that going to be a big deal for Governor Reynolds now?
It's definitely going to be a challenge, not only now working on trying to shore up a shortfall in the fiscal year that just ended, but also in the fiscal year that just started. And what happened is state budgets are largely, and including in Iowa, are built on projections. There's a three-person panel of experts here, and they project the amount of revenue that the state is going to bring in the coming fiscal year, and then the state lawmakers build their budget based on that projection. Most years, they're pretty close to the mark, sometimes a little high, sometimes a little low, but not so much that it's an issue and things roll along and nobody really notices. This year, the projection turned out to be too high. Revenues are not coming in as well as they expected by a margin of hundreds of millions of dollars. So they have to find somewhere to reduce that state spending because that money never came in to the level they expected. So that's been a significant challenge for Governor Reynolds.
Now, some people have been blaming tax breaks and things like that for companies and others in Iowa for this shortfall. Is that the whole story? I mean, is it possibly the farm economy not doing so well? Other things too?
Yeah, it depends on who you ask, and those are the two biggest ones you hear. The farm economy is down a little bit, and that has tentacles throughout Iowa. You know, it's not just a matter of commodity prices and farm values. It also means that when farmers don't have as much income, then they're not spending as much, and that has an impact out across the economy. But there are some who say that's a little overstated. Democrats in particular have been critical of the tax credit programs that have grown and grown over the past years in the state, and the millions of dollars that leaves out of the state revenue. So, like I said, it depends on who you ask. The truth, as it always is probably somewhere in the middle, but it's a confluence of factors that have led to the state not coming in with as much money as was expected.
So does that mean that there's going to be a fight over taxes next year in the Iowa legislature?
Yeah, that'll be the really interesting thing to watch, because with the Republicans gaining complete control of the state capitol in the 2016 election, they've got at the very least this year and next to do basically whatever they can all agree on without any help from Democrats. And one of the things that they definitely want to do that they have not yet is some kind of tax reform, some kind of tax cut. And the problem with that is that also takes more money out of the state coffers. So it's going to depend a lot on that revenue estimate, and that's why I say they'll be watching that. They do it quarterly, every 3 months. October is kind of a big benchmark, and then December is the one that they build the actual budget off of. So it will be interesting to see those and see what the money available looks like, and then how Republicans decide to approach tax reform during the next legislative session.
Now, what are the possible Republican candidates for governor of Iowa next year? I assume that there'll be some sort of challenge to Kim Reynolds keeping the seat.
Yeah, Kim Reynolds has said officially that she will run for election. It's technically not re-election. She was elected as lieutenant governor. So she is going to run for another term. And the only challenger she has so far in the primary is Cedar Rapids Mayor Ron Corbett. And so he has officially jumped in the race as a Republican as well. So he will challenge Kim Reynolds for the Republican nomination, and that primary is in June. It's possible more will jump in the race, but I just, if you're asking my two cents, I would be surprised. Even Mayor Corbett has kind of an uphill challenge, given Governor Reynolds will have the advantages that come built in with being a de facto incumbent. She already has more than $1 million in her account. She has the support of many Republicans across the state, so it'll be a challenge for Mayor Corbett, and I think with those two in the race, I don't envision another challenger jumping in that primary.
And real quick, Aaron, there's something like 7 Democrats that are interested in running next year right now. Are there 1 or 2 or 3 that you think might be considered the front runners so far?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'll answer it this way. For better or worse, these elections in a lot of ways come down to resources, and when I say that, I mean money. Because eventually you got to be able to put on a campaign where you can get your name out there, maybe do some advertising on the radio or TV. And so the people who you can envision being able to do that, there's maybe a handful. Andy McGuire, who was the state party chairwoman for the past couple of years. Nate Bolton, who was a state senator, they put him out on front of a number of big bills during the legislative session. He's already had a lot of endorsements, and seems like he'll be a guy really able to fundraise. Fred Hubble is a Des Moines area businessman. He would be able to self-fund his campaign.